go and speak at a church on the Wirral. So I'm sure they're having a wonderful time. And what I would like to do is just share really some thoughts with us. Read some scripture, share some thoughts with us, and encourage us. And it's interesting, just appreciate what Philip was just sharing. And so often we are just aware of the reality of the context of our lives, aren't we? Yes. Now you need to get with me here this morning. We're all in the same room. So the reality of our lives is kind of obviously what confronts us every day. It's our ordinary and it's our obvious. And the wonderful thing, I think, that we discover again and again and again and again, like on repeat, is that within the context of our ordinary, Jesus comes and he ministers to us. And you know, I find more and more, I think, because he's God, he does it effortlessly. There's no stress and strain, but he has this ability right in amongst the kids kicking off and, like, you know, things are going wrong. And this was happening for us this morning. And Joseph got delayed at the stables, and it's like we're running out of time. And it's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And it's just life. But it's in that very context that the Lord Jesus comes and he just ministers to you. And sometimes it's like he washes your feet and he brings refreshing to you. And it only happens because of who he is. It doesn't happen because of like hype or hyper-emotionalism or kind of like anything like that. That can actually leave us empty. But Jesus himself can come and minister something of life and reality. And it's like, you know, hands up if you're up for that. I am. Continue to be. And so that's a kind of like background thought this morning. Just the reality of our lives. And within that context, so this is going to seem like a right paradox now, what I'm going to say, but bear with me. I want to talk a little bit about cultivating quietness. Some of you are thinking, like, you must be joking. You what? But, like, bear with me. Cultivating quietness, it matters. And let's read... this is from, I'm going to read from Psalm 46. I'm going to read all of it. And it's not very long. It says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. And he raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth, and he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two, and he burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. This version says, cease striving and know that I am God. Knowing that He is God enables us to cease striving. There's another word within that word, and it's this. Relax. It's a bit different, isn't it? Be still and know that I am God. Relax. You are. How do we do that? Because we know that He is God. That He is the one in control. And you read that in this psalm. And because of that, He can enable us to know a place where we can be still. We can relax in God, knowing who He is and what He has done. And it says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. It's like, when you know some of this stuff, it's like, it's a help, isn't it? God is our stronghold. God Himself. And let's read. The point really, I just want to kind of reiterate to us. And we find this all the way through, I think, the way that God works in our lives, the way that God grows us and matures us in Himself, is this increasing awareness that He is God and that I can walk in amongst the reality of my everyday life in the awareness of who He is, and that can give me peace and strength that I can relax because He is who He is. Does that make sense? Be still and know that I am God. And then going to read this. This is from 1 Kings and chapter 19. It's a very well-known bit of scripture, and we're just going to read down a few verses here again. It says this. I'm just going to have to jump in. And it says, he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, the Son of Israel. The sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Oh no. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and a strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And this version says this. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. That's a contrast, isn't it? We've got earthquakes and fire and wind and noise and distraction. And it's massive and it's in your face. It's demanding attention. And then we find this. After all of that, there was this gentle blowing. There was this still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him, you could say again, and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And you can read down the story. Again, I just want to highlight, point this out to us, because it's so relevant, I think, in our lives, in our culture. There's so much noise There's so much distraction. There's so much earth quaking. There's all of these things. But so often, it seems to me, that we find that God speaks. Because God speaks, doesn't he? Yes. He continues to speak. And we can learn to have, if you like, an ear attuned to God, to be sensitive to God and to his leadings and to his speakings. And so often we find, because of who he is, that he speaks, it's like with a still, small voice. There is about it a kind of a certainty, if you like, but there is just this gentleness of God. And he speaks, and we can hear, and he gets our attention. And I think it's true. There's all sorts of reasons why I think this is so true and so necessary. And we can think about prayer, and we can think about an inner quiet place. It's God's encouragement to us. And he says, when you pray, go into that quiet place, that inner quiet place there. Why? Because we can just find, and we need this, I think, in our lives, in our culture, in our society, if you like, to be aware of this inner quietness before God and to hear him speak and to minister to you and to lead you and to help you and to encourage you and to refresh you. And he speaks to us in this way, I find. And it's like really nice. Honestly. He doesn't have to come and like bash you over the head. It's just like speaks to you gently. And you know, this week I was in Screwfix. Screwfix, they like sell tools and stuff. It's great. So I'm in the queue in Screwfix. And there's lots of sort of buildery people like me in there. And all queuing up to get to the counter. And there's this lady in front of me, and she's got a lot of stuff to buy, and she's kind of getting close to the counter. And one of the things that they do in Screwfix, in the trade bit, is the manager offers you a cup of coffee. It's just like, while you're here, do you fancy a cup of tea or coffee? And so this lady gets to near the front, and it's like, would you like a cup of coffee? Instantly, her reaction was just like, oh no, I'm far too busy for that. Far too busy, couldn't possibly. And it's just like, hold on a minute, love. It's like, by the time they've got your order and you've kind of like hung about for a minute, like you could have drunk your coffee, but it's like, not a chance. Instant reaction. This is just like cultural necessity, isn't it? It's like, no, my life, I'm in Screwfix, I'm busy, I've got things to do, I've got places to go, I've got stuff to do, I'm really busy. It's like a badge of identity. It's like, cup of coffee? You must be joking. I'm far too busy to drink hot drinks in a queue. It's like, hold on. It's mad. This is our lives, isn't it? I thought she modelled it really well. And busyness, it seems to me, is epidemic. And it seems to be a constant state of being for body and soul. What do you reckon? Anybody live this life, or is it just me? I reckon some of you, all right, this is real. It's like busyness. And it's like, it's everywhere. Noise, activity, distraction, running, never getting to the end of that list of jobs. It's just like, it's busy, isn't it? And it's just like, I'm not knocking it, it's just life. And it seems that whenever we might have a minute's respite, we fill it. Do you? Some of you. But how do you fill it? You get a minute, and then it's like scrolling. It's like news, social media, Facebook, Instagram, little quick, what they call shorts, little videos. It's just like, and it just gets your attention. It's like some of you older people are looking at me like I'm from like Mars, but like I've heard a rumour that this happens. and it's true, I think. We fill up our lives with all kinds of things. And in this sense, there's constant noise. Constant noise, constant distraction, constant stuff, really, that seems to me it's so easy for it to be drowning out the voice of God and bringing a spiritual dearth in the church. I wonder, could it be? I think so. And it's just like, it's just busyness, distraction, running. And I think the Lord Jesus, again, in his faithfulness and his goodness, and he can just kind of draw attention to something and just kind of pull us back from it and just be like, well, what about this as an alternative? And we have so much information, forgive me for this little rhyme, but we have so much information and so little revelation. I think it's true. I think it's true because revelation comes, just hearing God, that's revelation, comes often when we can just stop and just find a quiet space in relation to him and just be in that place of hearing. And I want to encourage us, just in this hopefully pretty chilled out way this morning, I want to do this. It's just like you could miss it because I'm just being chilled out about it. But honestly, I want to encourage us within the context of this real life to cultivate a quietness on the inside. Carnage can be going on all around you, and God can invite us into a space where there's just calm there. There's peace because he's there. And it's like, I want to encourage us deliberately, I think it matters, to cultivate a quiet heart, an inner life, a place of prayer, of hearing God. I feel like in saying these things, just in terms of the context of culture, it's just like such a kind of distinct difference. We don't live like this. And I think, unless we learn to cultivate a quiet heart with him, we will miss so much because he speaks to us in this place with his still small voice. And I really know, I was going to say believe, and I do, because that's the same thing really, God is still speaking. But if we are constantly distracted by the noise around us, we might miss it. He's speaking. It's like, honestly, I know we know this, but it's like God himself, he is still speaking. He is a speaking God. He is the Word. And he continues to speak in different ways and minister something of his life and his refreshing and his reality to us. And sometimes I think he says to us, could you just stop for a minute? Honestly. Just stop for a minute. And if you do in your life and you just give me that space, you will begin to hear, we could say overhear, God. And he's just like, just settle down, Phil, will you? I'm just going to talk to you, friend. Honestly. And this is, I think, God wants to speak to us. And we just need to be aware sometimes that we are surrounded by distraction and noise. And he wants to get our attention. And he doesn't shout at us. He does have a still small voice. And sometimes we just need to pay attention. And it's just like, Jesus is going to speak to me. Just in the course of my ordinary life. It's like, what do you reckon? God. Amen. Go on. Yeah.
Recurring time, we can decide to say, for example, 8 each day at this hour and this hour I will dedicate to God, or it's something we need to look after all the time.
Mm. How we can achieve. Yeah, amen. I think it's both of those things. My sister's now going to come and share with us. No, I think it's both of those things, and actually we're going to talk about some of that, but I think it's true. deliberate intentionality. That's that, isn't it? Deliberate intentionality every day. I know that I'm just going to deliberately set my heart to God. And I'm going to provide opportunity. So I am going to make time. I'm going to make space every day to be able to just be still in his presence, I think. And I also think that as we begin to do that, and we will touch on some of these things in a minute, but I think as we begin to do that, we find that we can cultivate and develop an attitude of heart to God, which is, if you like, got a quietness attached to it. So there's like a hearing of him, because we're cultivating an attitude of heart and mind towards God, where there is like this openness. And that's an inner disposition of life. And I think that's an area that we cultivate over time, this openness to God, where hearing him becomes easier. And part of the discipline of that, I also disagree, is because we choose intentionally to give actual time and place in our daily lives and to come aside from other things. And it's true. And here's another thing, and it's relevant to everything that we've just highlighted. Oh, here's a thing. This is like an image, if you like, and I think it speaks to what my sister's raising. And it's this. In our house, we have dinner sitting at the table together. And from when the kids were really little, we've had this like policy, and it's called no toys at the table. Because some of our kids, if we didn't have this policy, there'd be all kinds of toys on the table and there'd be all kinds going on. There's nothing wrong with that, but we've just decided, kids, no toys at the table. These days, it's like, kids, no phones at the table. Why? Why? Well, the simple reason is this. If they got all this stuff there distracting them in amongst our together time, our meal time, it's just like we're not connecting with each other. We're not talking to one another. We're not engaging with one another because we're all too busy with our own personal distractions. So it's just like we've got to do something deliberate. And so for us, and it's just an idea, but it's like kids... and it's relevant to mummy and daddy too, but it's like no toys at the table. And so there's this thought, this idea of putting away distraction from our lives. And this means different things to different people, but we can put away distraction. Here's another thing. How do we cultivate inner life? And it's like one of these things, put away distraction. Here's the thing. This is like a real practical point. And I think it's massive, this. Replace grumbling with gratitude. Develop an inner life. Replace grumbling with gratitude. You know, grumbling's really easy, isn't it? Come on, it is. Yeah, thank you. Grumbling is really easy. And it can see problems everywhere. And like, grumbling is easy. Replace grumbling with gratitude. Change your life. Practically, you'll live longer. That's like, that's been figured out by somebody, apparently. Replace grumbling with gratitude. It makes a difference because it begins, it's another thing which begins to cultivate an inner attitude of heart towards God. Because ultimately, where is our gratitude? It's to him. It's to him. And we can cultivate, I think, this attitude of, attitude of gratitude. Try that. It makes a difference. It honestly makes a difference. Sometimes, and again, like I'm probably painting a completely erroneous view of our family table, but sometimes it'll be like, let's just pause for a minute, and maybe Charlotte or I will say to all of us, like, what's something that you're grateful for, kids, mummy, daddy? And it's just like, let's have a little think. It's like you've got to actually come up with an option. It's just like, what are you grateful for? Like, have a think about it. There is an awful lot of stuff to be grateful for. This is deliberate choice. Because the alternative is you could spend your life grumbling about stuff. It's really negative and unhelpful. And it's just like, no, forget it. we will develop an attitude of gratitude. And here's another one. And I think all of this speaks to what we were just talking about. How do we do this? How do we develop this change internally, which is going to benefit my receptivity to God? Because that's what I'm trying to talk about. What can we do? What helps to cultivate a quiet heart? Well, gratitude, I think, is really significant. Putting away distractions, unnecessary distractions that just fill up my time and my mind, my thought life, constantly. It's just like, I just got to put some of that stuff down. And some of it might be really nice stuff. And it's just like, I can just put it away, at least for a season. Do you know, here's another one. Keep short accounts. This matters. I'm talking about, how do we cultivate a quiet heart? A receptivity to God. Keep short accounts with Him and with one another. Stuff happens, doesn't it, sometimes in life. And it's like things go wrong and misunderstandings happen or sin occurs. And it's just like, what are you going to do? You're going to keep a short account. And you're going to, if you need to like turn from something or repent of something or ask somebody for forgiveness or humble yourself, it's just like, just do it. Just do it quick. It's just like, it's not unusual, any of that stuff. It's just a part of life. And it's like, I think, keep short accounts. Here's the thing. How do we cultivate a quiet heart? So there we are. Keep short accounts with one another. It's relational. Here's the thing. This is massive. Like, you could just like skip over all this. All right, but think about it in our lives. How do we develop, cultivate a quiet heart? This is like earth-shattering news. Are you ready? Think of yourself less. What do you reckon? Humility. Think of yourself less. Our culture is obsessed with self. And it's really not helping. It's really not helping society. We're obsessed with self. And it's just like, here's an option. Think of yourself less. If we do that, and sometimes it is deliberate choice, if I think of myself less, almost by definition, I'm going to think of others more. And I'm also going to think of God more. Isn't it? Potentially, and think of yourself less. Here's one. You might think this is like really left field, but it's not. How do we cultivate a quiet heart? Now, this might depend a little bit on temperament, okay? So bear with me. I like this, and you can fill in your own things. How do we cultivate a quiet heart? Do you know what I'm finding? One thing, there's lots of things, but I think this is real. Enjoy, and then you could put lots of things, but enjoy nature. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. So much of the created world and the beauty of the created world, it can help, it kind of is lifting up praise to God. Like when you get a right perspective on what creation's all about. But it's like it helps us to lift our attention to higher things and to see beauty. To see beauty. To realize within the created world, there is so much, again, to be grateful for and to appreciate and to see beauty in, which kind of elevates our attitude, if you like, towards God. It can encourage worship, not of nature, but of the Creator. Get out more. What do you reckon? Yeah, some of you are nodding, which is great. You carry on. Here's one. How do we cultivate, we're going to run out of time as usual. How do we create quietness on the inside? It really matters. I want to impress that upon us. It matters. It's not just my personal disposition. Like, it matters. We mentioned this already, but here it is again. Are you ready? How do we cultivate quietness of heart? Forgive quickly. Massive. These are like ordinary things in some ways. None of these words we haven't heard before. But it's like the significance of them is enormous in relation to keeping a quiet heart. Honestly, it is. And it's like, here's one. Forgive quickly. Stuff's going to happen. And it's hard sometimes when stuff happens. And it's painful. And it might take a minute. But forgive quickly. It matters. And it will help us, I think, to cultivate a quietness of heart. And each of us, again, and we're kind of like focusing in on something specific this morning, but each of us has, Jesus said this, each of us has, if you like, what I'm going to refer to as an inner room in our hearts, in our inside. Each of us has an inner room, a quiet place with God. And I want to encourage us to use it frequently. Obviously, this is a picture. But we have, if I can put it like this, an inner space, an inner room, a quiet place with God. And we can learn, if I can put it like this, and this goes back to what my sister was saying, but we can learn to live from that place. When we cultivate a quiet heart, when we spend time deliberately with God, with a listening ear, and not just filling up that space with all lots of our words, but we learn to be listening, have a listening heart to God, we can learn to live from a place of a quiet heart. It's wonderful. Honestly, we can learn to live from that place. We can learn, if I can put it like this, to hear the voice of God. We can learn to listen. Here's a picture. I won't be too much longer. Let me tell you this. I might have told you this story before. And it's kind of, this doesn't happen every day, but it's just like a picture. It's an image. And these things do happen every day on different levels for all of us. But what impact does this kind of thing have in our lives? As we learn to cultivate a quiet heart, as we learn to walk with God in this way, as we learn a sensitivity to Him and His Spirit. Well, I think massive. And some time ago, I knew that the Lord was kind of getting my attention about, we've got a little building company, and at the time it was pretty much just me and Johnny and a few subbies, and I felt the Lord was just kind of stirring in my heart, again in my quietness towards Him, I felt the Lord was trying to get my attention, and it's just like, Matt, I reckon could be time, so these are my words, but you know, God speaks to me like this, might be time to kind of like bring somebody else into the team. Like, grow it a little bit. Kind of like, what do you think? And just kind of stirring these thoughts. And my responding, again, internally to the Lord, it's like a heart thing, was just kind of like, yeah, that's great. I'd love to do that. That'd be really nice. It'd be really helpful. We could do with some more people. Could do with some more help. Like, that'd be great. And then my questioning to God is, again, internally to the Lord, it's just like, well, that's great. Who's that going to be then? Like, it matters. Because like, who you bring into your little team can either be really helpful or really disruptive. And it's like, I haven't got the answers. Lord, what should we do? I love the concept, but like, you're going to have to make this real for me. What do you mean? So one day, I'm driving along in my truck. And again, quietness of heart towards the Lord within everyday life. That's like a context where God can speak to you. So you're just going along. Quiet heart before the Lord, just looking to God in amongst my ordinary busyness. And He just put somebody's name in my mind. And He's like, Matt, Phil Jones. this bloke is called Phil Jones. And I thought, that'd be great. Thing is, at the time, Phil Jones, who I'd known from years before, lived in Canada. So I was like, Lord, I'm loving this. It's great. But how's it going to work? It's a long commute. He lives in Canada. What are we going to do? And here's the thing. Okay, quiet heart, sensitivity to God, submission to him, obedience to him. And do you know what happened? The week after, I get a telephone call from his brother Mark, who lives on the Wirral. And he says, Matt, it's a bit of a long shot, but thing is, my brother Phil is moving back from Canada, and he could really do with a job. Any chance of like him coming to work for you? And it was like, mate, like we're on. And so Phil comes back from Canada, been out there for 20 years, timber framing houses, and like generally brilliant, practical guy, and also a lovely man who's now an elder of a church on the Wirral. And the Lord, he just knitted us together. And it's just like, so my point is, practical application right there. Keep a quiet heart to God, be open to him, cultivate that relationship with him, and you'll be amazed what he might say to you one day. And it's like, and we can go with him, and it's like, Lord, this is great, but how on earth is it possible? And then, because he knows the end from the beginning, he's working it out. My responsibility is to trust him and to go with him. And again, that is keeping a quiet heart with God, unruffled by the reality that Phil lives in Canada. It's like God knew that. It's good, isn't it? My point is, it's real and it matters. But the alternative to that would be rushing about, trying lots of different options, getting lots of people to like come and have a taster or something. It's just like, it's a lot of stress. Now, you know, that's not happening every day. But the principle is happening every day. It becomes a part of our living and of our life and of our responding to God. That the apostles expected to be directed. We've got all kinds of little rhymes going on this morning. The apostles expected to be directed by the Spirit of God. Did they not? Yes, they had an expectancy. And sometimes God, he interrupted their plans. What do you reckon? I'm right up for God interrupting our plans. As a church, individually. It's like, Lord, if you want to come and interrupt, it's like, feel free. Feel free. Well, honestly, we need it. And the apostles expected, and they were directed by God in different ways at different times to go into actual flesh and blood, real situations. He led them, if I can say it like this, he led them by the Spirit. The Western church, here's a massive sweeping statement for you, but I think it's largely true, that so often the Western church has become so cerebral in its approach to God. And it's just like the apostles, they expected to be directed by the Spirit of God. They needed to have a quiet heart receptive to him, that they would be able to hear him and go with him when he spoke to them. This is how God works. And so often we have relegated him to textbooks and how-tos. And it's like, guys, let's scrap it and learn to hear God. God speaks to his people. Amen? He does. He does. And without the speaking of God, we are utterly lost. He gives us direction. He gives us equipping. He enables us by his Spirit. Not by my faulty intellect, because we'd all be up a gum tree. But God speaks. And he's like, come on. Honestly, it's like drawing us. Come on, come on into this quiet place with me, and I will minister something of myself to you, and it will have a reality which will impact and change your life. Spiritual life is spiritual. There's a news flash for us. But it's true. It's true, and it's wonderful. And he invites us into something other than ourselves. That's got to be good news. I think so. I'm going to finish. You get the idea. True prayer originates in God. True prayer originates in God. Now, I know there's all kinds of different kinds of prayer, so don't trip over this comment. But let me put it like this. True prayer originates in God. And he invites us into this space where we have cultivated a quiet heart, where there is a listening attitude towards God. And God, I mean, this is like earth-shattering this. God has plans and purposes. He has his heart for people and situations all over the world. And here it is. He wants to invite you into a space where you can overhear his heart. Prayer originates in God. And he, by his Spirit, can enable you to know his own heart. And when you know his own heart and the things that he might want to pray for a situation or a person or whatever it is, he can enable you by his Spirit to pray the prayers of God. You don't have to make it up. What do you reckon? I want this for us collectively. And we know this. At times, it's like we can get together in a little room in there, sit down in a circle on a chair. It's like really ordinary. I love it. I love it. And we can collectively have a quiet heart directed to God. And it's just like maybe there's a situation that is brought to our attention or a family member or a person or something. And it's just like, there's Lord, there's this. And in our quietness of heart directed to God, he can bring to your attention a thought or a prayer or an awareness of God's heart for that situation. And then we can pray those things. I don't have to make up the answer. It's like, God, I see this situation. It's like, here's a few options. Which one would you like to do? God doesn't need that from me. He's God. But what he does is he invites me into a relationship with himself where there is a union with God. Like this is like, honestly, this is like earth-shattering stuff. That's why I haven't stopped yet. But it's like, honestly, get into this. Cultivate a quiet heart, draw close to him, hear his heart, overhear the heart of God. And he will enable you to pray his prayers, and you will change, he will change people and situations through that kind of prayer. Honestly, I don't know if you're convinced yet, but it's true. It's true. It's like, isn't it a relief that when you come to pray, you haven't just got to make it up? It is. Shirley is agreeing with me. It is. It's a relief. It takes off all the pressure. And he's just like, come on, just relax. I'm God. It's a bit childlike, isn't it? It's supposed to be. I'm just going to take the pressure off. I'll be God. You be you, and I'm going to invite you into this place of personal intimacy with myself where I will share with you my mind, my heart, and you can pray my prayer. Oh, for Sierra Leone, Brian. God has a heart
for Sierra Leone, and he can put his heart into me. It's a miracle of grace. He can put his heart into me, and I can pray the prayers of God for a nation that I've never been to. And God will change things as a consequence. And it's like I've been there, and I've known the people, and my heart's broken for situations that I've never known. How does that happen? Because God, by his Spirit, puts his prayer and his heart and his purposes into your life. Where does it all start? Cultivate a quiet heart. Honestly, cultivate a quiet heart and a listening inner ear to God. What do you reckon? We can take this approach. You might think it's an approach. It might be. I don't know. But you can take this approach, and I'm recommending it. We need this. I'm longing for it. You can take this approach. You want rubber on the road, and we can apply it to Chester. You know, we sing songs sometimes, and we're like, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Man alive, are you actually up for that? Because he will. He will. He'll enable you and he'll sustain you. But he will make his heart so real for you. And it's just like this city where we live. It is full of brokenness. And God can gift you his heart. And it's like, here it is, City Church. Come on. Let's take this approach in our relationship with God and in our openness to God to change this city. I don't know anything else that's going to touch it. I don't. Not really. We could move the furniture around a bit. But really change it. Really impact a generation. How's it going to happen? You and me, within the context of our ordinary lives, are going to cultivate a quietness of heart where it is easy to hear God and to pray his heart out for this city and for our families and to the contexts that he has put us into. And it's like it's an invitation. There's no press ganging involved. It's an invitation. And I believe it's an invitation to us collectively. I know it's an invitation to me, but I know it's an invitation to us. And in terms of, if I can put it like this, spiritual growth and development, it doesn't matter how old you are. Honestly, it doesn't. I've been chatting to somebody last week who's like a right little baby in the Lord Jesus. He's only just come to know him. But he's talking this language. Why? Because God has quickened something in his life and he's become alive to him. And it's just wonderful. I was talking to somebody like a week or so ago, and they said to me, when you speak, like do this, it's like, how do you know what you're going to talk about? I had a little think, and it's like, I pray about it. That's it. That's it, I pray about it, and I want a quiet heart to God. We don't have to just make stuff up, but God wants to encourage all of us collectively to grow in this way. I hope this isn't a news flash. It's true. He does. I'm trying to reiterate the point, and we've completely run out of time, and I don't care. Honestly, God himself is inviting us as a church into a space of knowing him which will change this city. Nothing else will touch it. Nothing else will touch it. And it doesn't matter whether you've known him for a day or you've known him for 50 years. We can know him like this. And it's precious. It's precious. It is of great value. And it's how God changes the world. It's big, isn't it? And he's just like, all right, let's start where you are. It's like, cultivate a quiet heart where you can know me and hear me. And we'll start there. Amen. Let's pray, we'll finish. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us so much, that you want this kind of closeness. You want this union and togetherness of intimacy and knowledge of one another. And out of this depth of relationship, you work and you do the impossible. And I'm just praying real simply for us all, Lord Jesus, that you would be continuing to just bring that spark of life. Continuing to speak and to help us to make changes in our lives, which will cultivate a sensitivity to yourself. And that we will find an agreement of heart with you, but with one another. A yes and amen in the things of God. Lord, I pray for this. I pray that you would be raising up this church in this city to work in this way for your glory. Lord, we need nothing less than yourself. And then a revival of this spiritual reality of relationship with God. And we pray for it, we hunger for it, we long for it. We choose in ourselves to make practical changes in our lives to cultivate and encourage it. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you. And Lord, I just thank you this morning for your invitation on our lives and in this church. I thank you for your smile. I thank you for the way that you can move effortlessly and move a mountain. We love you, Lord. We love to be your people. We love to be engaged with yourself and your purposes. Amen. Amen.